This is HPR episode 2330 entitled Orc Part 7 and is part of the series Learning Orc. It is hosted by BeEasy and is about 21 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Looping in Orc explained by a sleep-deprived host.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. This is your boy, BeEasy, once again. With a little update. So, it's been a little while since the last time I was on. I've been incredibly busy at work, doing a bunch of stuff that I don't normally do, while I haven't had to do in a while. And I'll probably do another episode about some of the stuff I'm doing with web frameworks, with Python, and with REST APIs, if people are interested in that kind of things. And one of the things I want to talk about when I get there is how to use Wireshark to reverse engineer an API that's going over HTTP and not HTTPS. So just a future thought that I might want to do. But in the meantime, we have one more episode for the Orc series. Now, this one, I want to just do a brief discussion about the looping mechanism in Orc. Just like any other programming language, Orc has the ability to loop over over a list of values or arrays. Now, you might think, well, isn't that what Orc is doing the whole time? When you have a whole list of things that are separated by columns, isn't it just doing a loop through those? Yes, it is. But there might be times when you might want to loop in other ways. And I'm going to go over some of them right now. So first, I'm just going to talk about the basic syntax of awk loop structure. There is the while loop, there's the for loop, and then there's the do while loop. And I want to start with while. So a while loop in most programming languages, very similar to how it is in awk, you have conditional statement that you're going to continue to loop until that conditional statement is met. So, for instance, in the example that I'm giving, I'm going to have just a number that is represented by the variable I, and I is going to start off as 1, and while I is less than or equal to 10, we're going to continue to loop through and process the thing that I'm going to process. The first thing I'm going to process is just plain text. I'm just going to use awk just to do a for loop as an example. So the syntax, I'm going to do a begin statement in my awk file. I'm going to do just a begin with an open square bracket. And then inside of there, I have I equals 1, semicolon, and then on the next line, while, and in parentheses, I is greater than or equal to 10, so greater than sign is the, on the US keyboard, the one next to the M, while holding shift, so it's the comma, but with the shift down, equals 10, close the parentheses, and then open a new curly brackets. On the next line, print the square of comma I, and then inside of quotes again, is, and then comma, I times I. So what I'm basically doing is saying the square of I, the square of the value that is represented by I, which the first iteration is 1, is 1 times 1. And then on the last line, it says I equals I plus 1. So then I'm incrementing I by one. And so it's very simple syntax. You might have seen it in C or C++ or some other language similarly, where you go, so if I print that out, if I run awk-f on my while.awk file, which will be provided in the show notes, it's going to write on different lines, the square of 1 is 1, the square of 2 is 4, the square of 3 is 9, 4, 16, 5, 25, and so on, until it gets to 100, 10 and 100. And then at the last line, have exit, and then close the last square bracket. So very simple. It's a way that you can go through values. And I want to go and do a little bit more meaningful value example in the future. But let's just continue on with the examples I'm looking at right now. So a do while loop is a little different in that it does the thing first and then starts a loop. And so for the example here, I'm going to say begin and then I equals 1. And then the word do, and then begin open curly bracket, print the square of comma I comma is comma I times I, and then I equals I plus 1. And then after that, close the curly bracket and then say while, and in parentheses, I is not equal to. So I don't have to say it's not less than 2 or anything. I go exit after that. And so when it first starts, when I first get into the program, I is 1. There's a do statement, so it's just going to do what it says to do, which is print that one statement. It's going to iterate I. Now I is now 2. And now I get to the while loop. And now that I is 2, it stops. So if that makes sense, I started out as 1. By the time it got to the while loop, it is 2. So stop doing the while loop. And I used the example of while I is not equal to on purpose so you could see that it's not using a less than or equal than. It's not using just a less than. You can do it on just an equal sign or not equal. So as you can see, that's the basic structure of a do while loop. Not very creative example, but I just want to explain how it works. And you might be able to think of some ways that you could use this in awk. So for instance, if you wanted to sum up a whole bunch of things, and at the end of a grouping, write some information, or at the beginning of a grouping, you would do the do, you would do a whole bunch of stuff and then break the continue at some point in time. Now, for a for loop, for loops work very similarly. The example I'm going to give is basically the same example that we just had, which is with the square of I is I times I. In this case, we're going to say begin, and we're going to go for, and in parentheses, I equals 1, semicolon, I is less than or equal to 10, semicolon, I plus plus, close parentheses, and then open square bracket, and then say the print the square of I is I times I, close the square curly bracket, exit curls the square on the curly bracket again. So this one, it's a lot like how you do it in C++ or in C#, how you do a I loop, a for loop, where inside of the parentheses, you have 3 statements usually. This is the typical way you do it. You have the setter, then you have the conditional, and then you have the incrementer or decrementer. And in awk, you can use the plus plus symbol to increase the value by 1, or you can use the minus minus symbol to decrease the value by 1. Other languages, you might see a plus equals 1 or a minus equals 1 does something similar. One thing to know about awk, and I'm not sure if I've ever seen an example in awk where you can do plus plus I or minus minus I. In some languages, if you put the incrementer or decrementer before the variable, it'll do the decrement or increment before the process starts. I don't think awk has that functionality. And please comment if you know otherwise. But in this, as you can see, it does the same thing. Now, for has another usage. And if you have ever done anything in Perl or Python, it's really a lot more like Python on how it handles a for loop on an array. So you can say for A in B or for B in A. And where if you say for A in B, B is an array and A is an instance or the first iterable of A, sort of like in Perl, a for each loop. So an example I'm going to go here, I'm actually going to use an old example from one of my earlier episodes that has to do with doing a distinct count on a file. So in the earlier episode, I had this distinct.awk file that had at the beginning nr not equal 1, so the row number is not equal 1, open square bracket, and then I'm creating an array right now called A, and in square, so this wasn't explained very well before, but this because this was about just an example, but there's an array called A, and the second column of A I am incrementing right now. So A is the whole file of data where nr is not equal to 1. And so I have this value in row 2 that I am that I want to add, I want to sum. So I'm doing an A in brackets, $2, close the bracket, plus plus. What that means is I'm creating this array and I'm taking the second column of this file that I'm processing and I'm summing it. So at the beginning, it's 0. You don't have to do a setter for an awk to say that it's 0. But it's 0 at first. When it hits the first value where nr is not equal 1, where the row number is not 1, it's adding that value to 0. So it's giving it a value. And then on the second row, it's adding this value to the last value. And on the third record, it's going to add this value to the sum of the ones that came before it, and so on. So then after that plus plus, I close the bracket, the curly brace, do an end statement, and inside of curly braces here, I do a for inside of parentheses B and A. So as I was just talking about before, it's doing, we're declaring a new variable called B for every row in the new array that I created called A. And I'm going to print B. So what you're going to do, since this is happening at the end of an end loop, is that you're going to get just the distinct values of B and A. So I don't know how well I'm explaining that, but the point being that every time you see that value, you're gonna do an increment. I'm going to do one other one that might be a little bit more clear. Yeah, I like this one. So there's another one called sumColumn .awk. I think this is a little bit more clear than the distinct one is. So I have, in my begin, I have a bunch of things I'm declaring. In my begin statement at the beginning, I'm doing a fs equals, and in parentheses, and in double quotes, comma, ofs equals comma. That's saying the field separator in my input file is a comma, and the field separator in my output file is a comma. And then I want to print, before anything else, I want to print color, comma, sum. So that's my header in my new file that I'm creating. I'm closing the begin, and then I'm doing nr equals not equals 1. Now, as we talked about in the previous episodes, whenever you do a conditional before a bracket like that, you're basically stating the conditional statement that you want to put on doing processing over this file. So nr not equals 1 is saying when the row number is not equal to 1, so skip the first run, the first row. So while you're not on the first row, do a dollar sign inside of brackets dollar sign 2 plus equals 3 plus equals dollar sign 3. So I'm saying I'm making this new thing, this new variable inside of this a column, a array that is the sum of the third column in my file. And then I'm doing an end, and I'm saying for B and A, very similarly to what happened before, print B, comma, AB. And so what this one's doing, it's doing a similar thing as the distinct, where I am printing B, which is the row. And so as we saw in the other example where we did a distinct list of the colors, this is getting that same distinct list of the colors. And so I'm printing that. And then I'm also taking that array and looking at the bth column in that array. So bth meaning looking at for the column that's for the color that's called, I don't know, blue, what is the sum of all of the numbers where the color was blue. So once again, I don't know how well I'm explaining it. I'm pretty sure Dave is gonna come on top of this and explain a little bit better. But the basic idea, and it's really simple if you look at the examples and you apply it to other examples where you're really just saying, I'm taking this value, I'm making this new array called A, and I am making the second column of A. I'm getting all the distinct colors, and with the column that's next to the color column, which is the third column, I'm summing them. And then I can print out both the color and the sum amount. And if you remember, for those files, it was we were using this file 1.txt or the file 1.csv. So if I did, which I'm about to do, awk-f, let me go do it again. If I go awk-f sum column-awk on the file called file1.csv, so sum column.awk file1.csv, I get a row, the first row saying color sum, and then the next one saying brown 13, purple 12, red 7, yellow 11, green 8. I use stuff like this. Now, a lot of times nowadays, since I'm doing a lot more stuff programmatically, I'm doing a lot more stuff with data analytics, I'll do this stuff in either Python or R a lot more now nowadays, because those are systems that are a lot more robust for doing this type of analysis. But for certain situations where either I don't have those tools available, or it would take more time getting those tools out and starting up a process, or I'm SSHing to somewhere else, awk is a great thing to use for this. For instance, I've used this same exact process to look through my through a server's access log. So going to the Nginx or Apache access log and looking for people that are really slamming on the server, and then reporting those. You can use this exact function that I did with the sum column.awk file, where you would say you do I believe those you can usually separate by colon. So instead of saying OFS FS equals comma, you'd say FS equals colon. And then you just pick whichever field is going to be the one with the IP address. And then so instead of A in brackets 2, it would be A in brackets whatever column the IP address is in. And then plus equals whatever column. If you want a sum, you can do a sum, or you can just do a plus plus. If you just say plus plus right there, that means you're just getting the list. And then you could see, you could do the same print statement where we say, you would say the color, the IP address and the count right next to it. That is really, really useful. So you'd say, okay, well, I know my IP address. I'm at ISSH into the server all the time. I'm there 15 times. There's a coworker of mine. They have SSH in a bunch of times. Here's the normal traffic that you get on the site, which, you know, there's like a really long tail of regular traffic, but there's 1500 hits from this, from these two IP addresses that are like one number apart. And you do a lookup on them and they're from like, Ukraine or something. You're like, oh, well, that's probably people just, you know, scanning for open ports or looking for, and sometimes you can actually look at that deeper and see, oh, look, this is they're looking at the slash domain, the domain slash admin and basically, or slash login and seeing if those screens exist and trying to, you know, brute force logins. So it's interesting to see that kind of stuff. You can see people trying to get into your sites. Same type of thing for looking at different types of customer data. Sometimes I'm in, like I said, a lot of times I'll do it in R Python now, but it's like a really easy thing to be able to do grouping and counting or grouping and summing. That's what I usually use the for loops for. While loops, I really don't have that much of a use for. Because if I'm going to write something that needs that much, of a language support, I'm going to reach for a different tool like Python or R, or if I really had to, Perl, I guess, C, I guess, C sharp. So I tend to stay out of everything, that needs to be compiled if I can help it, just because what I do, it doesn't matter how long it takes to run. It matters how long it takes to write. So that's just my personal opinion. Don't hate me for that. Anyway, thanks for listening to this episode and stay tuned for more.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.